What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Convos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we're talking to Josette Norris, who has had an incredible summer of racing. She recently just became one of five American women to break four in the 1500 and break 15 in the 5K, which is a feat that is just absolutely incredible, and it's been so fun to watch. I actually knew Josette in high school, so it's so cool to see people that I know personally like accomplishing these huge things. It's so fun to watch. This episode was great. She kind of takes us through her improvement process, and honestly, we talk about a lot of different things, so I hope you guys enjoy it, so stay tuned. Before we get started, it would mean so much if you took the time to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. I literally say it in every episode, but it is a free way to support, and it literally takes like 15 seconds. I also just love reading your guys' reviews. It seriously makes my day. Since I'm like here in my apartment recording alone, it is so fun just to read your guys' feedback because it really has an impact on me wanting to continue doing this podcast, and just reading your nice reviews really helps me out so much. Your reviews also help establish credibility for the podcast, meaning high-profile guests will see your guys' reviews, see that you love the podcast and want to come on and answer your listener questions. So if you take the time to do that, it would mean so much to me. And if you've already done it, or you just love to spread the words to your friends and your family, that is amazing, and I appreciate you so much. So thank you. Now let's get into today's episode. Josette, I'm so excited to have you on. This has been a long time coming over the last couple of weeks. And I just told her, I was like, I'm really glad that I pushed it off because you had a really good race again. So I'm glad now that we get to talk about both of them. I mean, you've had like a ton of good races. So. Anyway.
It was a big fun week in California, but I'm very excited to be on the podcast. And just so you know, when I posted it on my story, so many people were like, yes, Emma's podcast is my favorite. I'm so happy. She's my favorite YouTuber. And I was like, okay, great. I'm so happy that everyone loves Emma.
Good. Okay, that makes me feel good too. So
gotta love that.
To get started, do you want to just like tell us a little bit about yourself? Give us a rundown of who you are and what you're about.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Josette Norris. I am 25. I grew up in Tenafly, New Jersey, and I ran cross country and track. I started at UNC in Chapel Hill. I did 2 years there. And then I transferred to Georgetown University and did 3 years at Georgetown. And I am currently in my second year as a professional runner for the Reebok Boston Track Club. And it's a little confusing because we're the Reebok Boston Track Club, but we actually train and live in Charlottesville, Virginia. So I'm currently in Charlottesville, Virginia, living there and training there full time. And, yeah, that's a little intro about me.
Yeah, and you've been absolutely crushing it. Well, you and I feel like we go way back, kind of. I don't even remember the first time we actually met in person, but I remember talking to you during like the high school recruiting process. Like,
we were Facebooking each other. But right when you asked me to do this, I was like, I remember when Emma and me were like Facebook chatting about colleges and like trying to figure out that whole process. And of course, then we both went through the transfer process. So yeah. Then I remember we were talking about that again when you were looking after, oh my God. Yeah. So it all started on Facebook, guys, our little connection.
Yeah. Okay. That probably does not happen with any, like,
I know.
I don't know what the ages of people that listen to this podcast, but they're like, what are you talking about? Like, who Facebook chats people?
But what
Facebook
about,
chat, yeah, like popped off back in the day. Like I had huge like group Facebook chats in high school. Like,
oh yeah. That was our thing. Yeah. Facebook. And now yeah. I don't even go on Facebook. It's all about Instagram these days, but
yeah.
And Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, I kind of want to talk about like, cause you and I feel like both went through the transfer process in college, which I don't think either of us were expecting, which it's kind of funny. Just, I mean, I don't think anyone really expects to transfer. Like no one's like, yeah, I'm going to transfer, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just feel like we had like fairly similar experiences with that. So you started at UNC and then mm-hmm. you did Georgetown. Okay. I was trying to remember. I was like, which one did you do first?
Yeah.
So I guess like, why did you end up transferring?
Yeah. So, little backtrack. Like I remember I was, obsessed with UNC when I, had just like, I hadn't even popped off with the running yet in high school, where I wasn't even going to have the chance to go to UNC or run on the team. Like, it was my, I remember my sophomore year that summer, me and one of my girlfriends like went down to Myrtle Beach. I was like going to watch one of her softball tournaments. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to go watch softball and go on vacation. And her mom was like, hey guys, you want to stop at Chapel Hill and like go look at all the schools in North Carolina? And we're like, yeah. And so UNC was actually the first college campus that I had ever seen, besides, I guess, UPenn for Penn Relays. But so that was like my first real college visit. And I remember falling in love with this school. And I was like, imagine if I could ever go to UNC and maybe run there one day. And that happened to be like the first summer that I ran in the summer and was like really committed to my running. And that was the first year, like I did my summer training. I had a great cross country season. I had played basketball up to that point. And then I did indoor track for the first time that my junior year. And that just like kind of gave me a little bit momentum going into that outdoor season. I remember when basketball would start, I'd just throw my running shoes away, not run one step for months and just focus on basketball. And I didn't realize how important maybe it was to be training and doing a little bit more running, but having that indoor season set me up really well for my junior year. And I had a huge breakout season as a junior. My mile time went from a 5:10 mile to 4:41 in just a year's time.
Yeah, okay, just that, like,
for reference.
What?
In high school.
Wait, what? How?
I don't even know if people understand my high school running. And then it's so ironic now that I'm having such a big breakthrough, because I feel like it's almost ironic. I remember I was talking to one of newspaper reporters that followed me in high school, and I like shocked everyone with this like big breakout season, and now I'm doing it again at the different level. And to me, I'm like, yeah, no, like
you're
like
used to it. You've already done this. You've already been this.
It's normal to drop all this time in a season, but
you don't want to drop 3 seconds in a mile within 1 year in high school. Why did that happen to me? I'm pissed.
I remember, for reference, yeah, my freshman year, I think I ran like 5:08 in the mile. I was pumped. I was like, yeah, I'm going to get so much better. Like as a sophomore year, I think I ran like 4:10 and I was like, 5:10. Oh my
yeah,
God.
I was like, whoa.
And I was like, why didn't I improve? I don't understand. Like what happened? And I think it was just because I thought I could just show up and do no training and replicate exactly what I did the years prior. And then I worked really hard like that summer and that indoor season. And I remember my first indoor race, at the New York City Armory, which a fun little fact, I got to do my pro debut at the place, at the first ever indoor track that I ran at. So I got to do my pro debut at the Armory, which is 15 minutes from my house. So that felt really full circle for me personally, which was really a fun moment for me. But I remember I was able to get my mile time down to like 5 minutes that indoor season. I was like, wow, like that was my goal for all of high school, like to break 5 minutes in the mile. And then like the first race I did in this, I remember I raced Sabrina Sutherland at like this New York meet, and me and her, she went 4:47. I ran 4:48 and it was like the biggest deal. I mean, like I remember that race so clearly. And then I got to be teammates with Sabrina, at Georgetown, and you got to be teammates with her at Oregon, which is pretty cool. And that was like, that set the tone. I went like 4:48, 4:45, 4:41, like all through the rest of that season. And, that breakout year is what got me like these offers for schools to go to college. And when UNC was on the table, I couldn't believe it. Like that was a dream a year ago, and then it became a reality a year later. And of course, I looked at a bunch of other schools, including Georgetown. And I think like part of me inside was like, I have to go to UNC. Like, I feel like I'm like destined to go there. Like, it's too good to be true. And I absolutely loved my time at UNC. It's like, I picked UNC because I thought that was going to be the place that I would love, like academically and athletically and just like the full package. But then after my freshman year, I gave it another year, and I still like, I saw improvements in my sophomore year, but I felt like something was missing and that I wasn't going to be able to be like the happiest runner and be able to reach my full potential if I stayed. Like something something inside of me, like even in that second year, just was like, I think I need something else. And I don't know. I think I'm very big on trusting my gut, and my gut was saying that I need to make a change if I want to do what I want to do in college. And I hadn't had the best 2 years. Like, I saw improvements from my freshman year to sophomore year, but freshman year was tough. Like, that college transition is so tough. Yeah. When you go in with such high expectations from high school. And that was a big like shock to me. Like, I thought it was going to be such a smooth transition, and that was really hard for me, and a lot of just like learning curves and just like growing pains through the college system. And anytime like I had any momentum, I just felt like I just took like 4 steps back and something got in my way. And it was so hard to like get back to where you wanted to be after having an interruption in college. And of course, when I transferred, I felt like I repeated freshman year all over again. And it was still so hard again. Like, transitions have been pretty hard for me when I think about it. But I just like, the biggest thing, I had my biggest breakthrough, luckily, in my fifth year. And it took me until my fifth year of college to really like feel like that runner in high school. Like, that's like, I finally felt like free and like confident and just like that runner that I always felt like I could be. And it took me till my fifth year of college to do that. And I'm so thankful it did, because that fifth year of going to NCAAs for the first time and finishing first team All-American and running well that summer, that was the only thing that got me a contract. Like, if I didn't have that season, I don't know if I would be pursuing this sport right now still, like, because I wouldn't have the support to do it. So I think just, it was definitely, I went through just like the college ringer of just like the grind of like trying to get back to where you want to be. And once I just finally had my feet under me and like had consistency, that was the game changer for me. And I felt like I was just getting better each race in that fifth year. And I've just been trying to build on that consistency in these first 2 years as a professional. And I'm seeing such a huge breakout now in that second year of like having a whole year of being a professional under my belt.
What do you think were the main setbacks like in college? Like, what was holding you back from, being the runner that you saw in high school?
I think I really struggled when I would get hurt, and my injuries were really weird injuries, to be honest. Like, I had some like really bad ankle sprains, and I know ankle sprains like don't sound like a really big thing, but I like I would continue like, so I it affected me. I transferred to Georgetown and I didn't run 2 outdoor seasons because something happened either at like the end of the indoor season or right at the beginning of the outdoor season. And one of them was this ankle sprain that I ended up continually spraining and then ended up taping it up so much where I got this like blister on the back of my heel that almost got infected. And like, I had these fluke things where then some people know this, but I got attacked by a dog like on a run, and he like threw me to the ground and on my quad, and I ended up getting a stress fracture in my femur a month later. And we are like convinced it was because it's like literally directly where the shaft of my femur was, where I got attacked by a dog. And we're like convinced that the dog bite caused my femur injury, because I'd never had a bone injury in my life. And it happened like a month before the outdoor season. I did one race at Stanford and I like limped my way through a 5K with a stress fracture in my femur. And then I ended up not running again for like, it took me forever to come back from. I am not someone who gets hurt and then like somehow can stay fit and then like get back into it. Like me, I like let myself go. I just like, it's just like, it's so hard to like get back where you want to be. And if I'm not the best cross trainer, I'm going to be honest. But yeah, I think it was just been like setbacks were really hard for me. And I never stopped like believing that I would come back, but like physically getting back to where I needed to be took a long time. And I think I lost a lot of my confidence from that. And it took a lot of time to like regain my confidence back. And confidence is huge in this sport. If you can be confident stepping on that line and like believing in what you're doing and believe in yourself, that's like the biggest part of the battle, because it's
it can I honestly think confidence is like more important than fitness. Like at a certain point, it's like you can be a certain amount of fit, but if you really believe in yourself, like you can honestly make anything happen. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. And that's like, I totally agree with that, because if you step on the line with any doubt, like against your competitors at this level, especially, and at the highest level in college, like you don't stand a chance. Like you have to believe in yourself. And that's been something I've been like learning, and just like not playing the comparison game against my competitors, and just realizing like, hey, trust what I'm doing, like be honed in on exactly what I'm doing, because everyone's path is so different. And yeah, there's a lot of girls that maybe run a lot more than me as 5K runners and just do a lot different training. And like, that's okay, because I'm doing exactly what I need to do to like be able to step on the line and stay healthy. And that's been a huge factor for me. And then once you do it, it just gets like easier and easier. And if you're able to stay healthy, that's the biggest thing. It's like, it's easy to run fast when you're like fit and healthy. It's the hardest part is staying fit and healthy and being able to still just like put in that work when it's like the toughest part, when you're in the pool for hours and just like trying to get back to where you want to be.
Yeah. So I was never someone that was like injured chronically. Like I never had any long strings of injury. I only got injured two times in college. So like I was really consistent, and I always just really admire people like you who didn't have like a consistent college experience, or someone like Emily Infeld, who like gets injured often or has in the past, and then, but then like comes back. And I don't know how you guys do it mentally. Like, how do you go through that year? Like, I don't know, 4 year period of time where you're like not being consistent, and how do you stay, I don't know, in love with the sport? Like, how do you continue going on?
Yeah, Emily is incredible with her story and her comebacks. And it's always so impressive how quickly she can come back, because that's the hardest part, I think, like how she can turn it around so quickly. And that just attributes to her. Like, she's so talented and like such a hard worker. And for me, I think the biggest thing, like even in that fifth year, like I missed my senior spring season and I was so excited for it. And then I had a fifth year, I didn't have cross country, and it was almost like a relief to not have cross country, because yeah, I was like, okay,
you don't have to rush.
Yeah. And I didn't even start like fully running again till like November, October, like till I actually was like consistently running off of that injury for the first like Stanford invite that must have been in March. So which was a long time. Yeah. The biggest thing for me was like, I had to take it like week by week. I feel like I was just like so focused on like what I could do that week. And I really couldn't look about like the big picture of like outdoors and like putting that stress on myself of like, hey, you have 5 months of running left in your running career. Like I was so focused on just like doing what I could in that week. And then I think my week just kept building on each other. And I was using that for a lot of confidence, because that was like the one thing I could hold on to. And I think deep down, I've always had this like internal belief in myself, and like, I've always believed that I could do something like really special in this sport. And I think like, even if that was in the back of my head and I felt so far away from it, like it was still there. Like, and I've never given up on that. And I think I've been able to show that with like just that comeback in that fifth year. Like I needed the foundation. And then once I got that foundation and that consistency, that's what set that season apart. It was like, it was hard. And I think a lot of times I was like afraid to like even share my goals out loud or like even talk to my coach about it, because I felt so far away from that. Like I was so far away in the moment, but it's so important to like be vocal about your goals and be honest with your coach and communicate, because I think like it's really easy to keep a lot of stuff in. And I think I've gotten so much better at just communicating and like advocating for myself and just talking through things, because it can be scary in college. And especially when you go in there with a lot of expectations and it's not going the right way, it was hard. I remember like a lot of just conversations, like I would just like choke up because I was so emotional because I cared so much about it. But I just felt so like, just what was going on? Like what was happening? Like I just felt so far away from it. But I got better, and I feel like I like really broke through some walls in that fifth year. And that was huge for me, just to like be on the same page of even what I wanted to do. Like, and I think I've had a lot of an amazing support system and people that believed in me and have always helped me get back from my injuries. And that's been just huge to like stay motivated and stay in this sport, even through the hardships.
Yeah. Who do you think helped you most like through that time in college?
So I actually started, me and Robbie started dating like, pretty like in, like I had gotten that femur injury and like that comeback, like he was instrumental in helping me like come back from, that injury, just because like, it was funny. I had never like dated a runner before. And, I remember at first, like he kept asking about my runs, like, and I was like, why does he care about my runs? Like I'm going on a 4-mile run at 8-minute pace. I'm like so embarrassed. Like it's like, I don't even want to tell him about the runs. And I'm like, he keeps asking about my running. And I had never like had someone so invested in my running besides just like talking about it with my coach and teammates. And I think I started to like get excited that someone like cared about my running when I wasn't like in the season, like the coaches and team were going away every weekend for races. Like I was back alone, like working, like just like trying to get my feet back under me. And I think I like started to really enjoy that. Like, oh, he like someone like is invested in me and like cares about me and my running. And it's really cool. And then I remember I was like getting in shape and I like wanted to start bragging about the runs. I was like, oh yeah, I did this today. Like, and just like that shift in like, almost like I was like excited again about the season. Like it wasn't so much that it wasn't as scary. And I think he made that like less scary just like in that comeback. And that was huge for me, just like to get my feet back under me for my fifth year. And like, I attribute a lot of that success to him and just like also then admiring him as like, wow, he's a professional runner. Like I've always dreamed about being able to like run professionally, go to the Olympics. Like, I'm a big like track nerd in the sense that I love following the sport and, I love running and watching people race. And, I think that was like really good for me to almost just like see it. I got like, we started dating and I was like, just having that support system and like that love and care from someone who's been in the sport and done exactly what I want to do. Like that was huge for me. So I would say he was such a big factor in that. And of course my coaches, like Julie Cully and Coach Baker, at Georgetown, like, I think they saw my potential and they really honed in on my strengths and helped me get to where I want to be. Like they knew what I could do in this sport. And I really appreciate that as like them, like setting me up for such big success now and like what the next few years can be. And I think they really set me up to now have a successful pro career and like a smooth transition going into this career. And it's, that's been just like having that belief and like people believe in you. That's so big, especially when maybe you're at a point where your confidence and belief in yourself is like lower than where you want it to be at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. Here, wait, I'm writing down. I'm taking a note. Find runner boyfriend. everyone listening is like, that seems like something I would be interested in. Wait, okay. How did you and Robbie start dating? I remember when that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, such a cute couple. Like, I feel like it was kind of a match made in heaven. I don't know. I remember seeing you guys like first start posting together. I was like, this makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I'm glad you thought that, you know, I was like, yeah, we're both from New Jersey. We're both runners now. I met him actually, this is a cool story. I met him back in, 2016. So I had just transferred to Georgetown and like in the first 2 months, Team USA was going to go meet President Obama and they were coming to DC and, Georgetown was hosting like a party for all the Olympians on campus. So it was like an Olympian like celebration on our campus, like in the Healy Center. And everyone was like trying to get tickets to like go see the Olympians. And Emily Infeld came and spoke to our team. Like Julie had set that up for us. And that was like just so cool. We were just like surrounded by all the Olympians. And Joe White, who was one of my friends at the time, was like friends with Clayton. And I got to, I ended up going to the after party with the Olympians and like went out to the bar with them. And I remember first I was like fangirling the Bowerman girls and like not even paying attention to anything else. And just like, yeah, I was being a little track nerd. I was so excited to go like hang out at this after party with all the Olympians. I was like, this is awesome. And I met Robbie there, and I had known about him just from like New Jersey and everything. And that was back in like 2016. And I thought, of course, in the moment, I thought he was like really cute back then in 16. But we like didn't really stay in contact, but we knew each other. And like, I kept feel like I like crossed paths with him a couple times, but we didn't even end up crossing paths again, like till years later. And we started dating in April of 2018. And like, he came to visit me a couple times, like before we started dating, to DC. And we just like, were a, like a great match. Like we just got along so well. And I was like, we were both really enjoying ourselves. And then we decided to start dating in that moment. And I think we were first like both a little nervous, because I was like, oh, I'm still in college. Like I'm about to do a fifth year, by the way. Like I just got
yeah, sorry, I'm actually staying here for another
like,
year.
I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, we just started dating, and by the way, I'm gonna still be in college next year. But don't worry.
Don't worry about it. Just tell people I'm in grad school. That's good.
Yeah, even though I'm undergrad, because I don't have enough credits. Like
maybe still tell people you're in grad school, just in case.
So we, I think we were first like a little like, oh no, distance, and I'm still in school. But I think, yeah, you know, love couldn't tear us apart. Distance makes the heart grow fonder, right? So yeah, we did distance for 2 years, or I guess a little less than 2 years. But then once the pandemic hit this year, like after coming down to Charlottesville, I like kidnapped Robbie down here, and we've just been having so much fun since. And then we got engaged in October of, oh my gosh, of 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. One.
Yep. Now year. It's 2021. So, yeah, it's been amazing. And, I'm so glad our like paths crossed, and almost like, as I know we weren't dating back in 16, but that's when I met him for the first time. And I almost felt like it was like fate that we like, I transferred to Georgetown, and then that first month I like met him. And we always joke about like, why didn't we start dating back in like 2016? I was like, I don't think either of us would have been ready for that. Like, how old was I? Like 20 or 21? I don't even know. But yeah, we grew up a few years, and and now we're here. And it was really cute. He actually, he ended up proposing to me in Georgetown, because like, that's where our relationship started. Like everything started in Georgetown because I was there. So yeah, Georgetown not only like holds a special place in my heart for like just where I went to school and having that fifth year and like getting my contract, but also I met Robbie through going to Georgetown. So yeah, it's a really special place to me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cute. Also, the running world is so small. Like, I can't, if no one is like, whoever's listening, like if you're not in, I guess, like the, I don't even know how to describe it, like the D1 running world in college, or just like the more like elite side of running, it is so small. It's like painfully small. Oh. Like everyone knows each other. Mm-hmm. I don't even know how to describe it, but the everyone knows everything. Thing. It's like,
yeah, everyone knows everything. So much gossip, but everyone, like the craziest thing about dating Robbie, I was like, everyone knows Robbie. Like we couldn't go anywhere without being stopped. It was actually unbelievable. My mom at the trials this year actually, and my brother were like, oh my God, like Robbie gets stopped by every single person. I'm like, yeah, it's Robbie Andrews. Like it's just like you, if you go walk in a room with him, like you're going to get stopped and he's going to start talking to people. And it's been so cool how many people I've been able to meet now through him. But also my first year as a professional, like during the pandemic, I didn't get to like race and travel and meet other runners. So I've been like loving just like racing this year and meeting new people. Like I'm not just now Robbie Andrews, like girlfriend at the time, or Robbie Andrews fiance. Like, I feel like now I know runners and like I'm friends with them. Yeah. Like, no, you're my friends now, Robbie. Like, so that's been like a fun little shift of just like, now I've asserted myself in this world, and I'm not just like, I'm like, hey, I run two guys.
All you had to do now was just break four in the 1500 and then run sub 15 too. Like that's all you have to do to like insert yourself in the running world. That's the qualification actually. So
in California also, it has to be in California. on a high school track.
Today's episode is brought to you by Green Chef. Green Chef is the first USDA-certified organic meal kit company that makes eating well easy and affordable with plans to fit every kind of lifestyle. So whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, or vegetarian, or you're just looking to eat healthier like me, there's a range of recipes to suit any kind of diet or preference. Everyone knows by now that I am obsessed with Green Chef. I literally get so excited when the boxes get delivered to my door because that means my meals are going to be on point for the next week. Recipes are quick and easy, literally like 30 minutes, with easy step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to help guide you along. And they include pre-made and pre-measured sauces, dressings, and spices, so you can get more chef-curated flavor in less time. It is so nice that ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, and mostly prepped because it makes you be able to spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. The ingredients are also seasonally sourced for peak freshness. It's seriously so amazing. I absolutely love it because the meals are just so flavorful, and that's what you need in your life to make a satisfying meal. It needs to be flavorful, and that's something I don't really do on my own, so Green Chef makes it super easy to have delicious meals like that. Green Chef is now owned by HelloFresh, and with a wider array of meal plans to choose from, there's something for everyone. I love to switch between the brands, just depending on how my taste buds change. If you guys are interested, go to greenchef.com/coldbrew100 and use code coldbrew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. That is greenchef.com/coldbrew100 and use code coldbrew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. Now let's get back into the episode. So is West Coast best coast now? I mean, you're an East Coast girl, so.
Oh man, I make a joke that like I thrive on the West Coast. Like that time change is great for me because I like to stay up late. I like sleep in until my alarm goes off. Like I'm not waking up before my alarm. So going to the West Coast, like I just feel like I'm thriving. I can stay up late and then I can sleep in and like still feel good about myself, about sleeping in. But I had so much fun just going out to California for 10 days for those two races. And of course, coming off like the disappointment of the Olympic trials was really hard. And I think I was just really excited to go after something. And like, I was really excited to have an opportunity to run the 1500 as well, because it was almost like shifting gears away from the 5K a little bit. And the race was going to be set up so well. And that was like a huge race and a huge moment for me, just after like grinding for another month after the Olympic trials. And I put in really good work and I just really wanted to like make the most of like this fitness in my season. And I think like a big thing was like reminding myself of how good the season has been. And just because I had one bad race and it happened to be at the Olympic trials, like that, I was not going to let that like define my year. And it feels really good to like go out to California, and I ran sub 4 and then I ran sub 15 again in 1 week. And I was exhausted this past week from that week. Like it all hit me this past week. I was been like a zombie, but it was very much worth it. And I got to enjoy myself and explore California. I got to go to San Diego for the first time, and I did a workout with Nikki Hilt, and we had so much fun like between our races, like doing that. And I took a trip to Laguna, went to Dana Point. So I was just like, I think by the time
you were making your way around,
yeah, I was enjoying myself. We were like eating like at fancy restaurants on the coast. I was drinking way too much wine, and then I was like, oh my god, I gotta run a 5K on Sunday. And I was like, oh no, because I was just living on this like 1500 high for a week. And I think like in most times in the season, I think maybe you're a little bit more just like honed in and like really in the zone. And yes, I was very focused, but I also think I was trying to also enjoy myself. Like this is supposed to be fun. Like I had so much, like it was so much of a stress to like get to the trials, and the season has been so crazy. And I think I really focused on like going to California and like getting the job done, but also enjoying myself. And I think I did a really good job of balancing those acts.
I think anyone would agree with that.
So I'm just really happy to like have the world standards out of the way for 2020. And just those races actually open some new doors for me. I actually got invited to 2 Diamond Leagues now. So
whoa, my season's gonna, okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, this is a big announcement.
Yeah, wait, which one?
So I got invited to the Prefontaine 1500.
Okay.
And so I'll be doing my first Diamond League at Eugene, back where the trials were. So that would be really cool. And then I got invited to Lausanne in Switzerland, only like 6 days later. So I've never left the country before. So my first trip out of the country is going to be to Switzerland to run a Diamond League. So I'm just like so excited because I didn't think this like European tour was going to be a thing this summer when I like the races in July weren't really lining up and I decided to just train and like get ready for this week in California. And now that those two races just like opened up new doors for me. And now I'm like going to have potentially a whole little summer circuit out in Europe if things go well. And I'm going to hopefully be able to get into like one more and maybe have three 1500 chances. And hey, who knows? Like maybe I can get into the Diamond League final off of those. Like I'm keeping my options open. So yeah, this season has just been a little crazy and I'm just so excited. And I feel like I'm just like learning so much because it's all so new and I'm just like trying to take it all in and learn so much and just have fun with it.
This is so fast paced. Like I can't even imagine like having this breakout year and be like, here, go to this Diamond League in Switzerland, leave the country for the first time.
I couldn't believe it. Like Ray was like, yeah, you got into like, after he's like, you got into pre 1500. I was like, all right,
amazing.
Like 1500. Let's go. And then like a week later, he's all right, got into this. And I'm like, this is opening so many doors for me. Like, this is so exciting. Like, it's just been, it's really cool. And I think I got so excited after, and that just like reminded me like how much I just like love doing this. And it's been every race this season has been like a new challenge. And I've just been like gearing up for it and just like trying to test myself like against the best runners and like challenge myself. And like, it's really cool to like see this hard work pay off. And I'm just like really proud of the season I've been able to put together this year. And I'm like really grateful that I'm healthy and just like been able to do this year.
Yeah. So which one's your favorite event now, 15 or the 5?
Oh man. It's so crazy because you finish a 5K and not only are you physically fatigued, like mentally the 5K is draining to me. And I finish a 1500 and I'm like, let's go again. Like my body, like I don't even have enough time to like make it mental. And so even though that pace was a shock, like going out in that 1500, that pace was hard and like a shock. And at one point I was like, oh man, like I feel like they're like, it's running away from me. Like I was able to then, I think my 5K legs actually helped me be patient in that 1500 because I couldn't go any faster in the time, but my body almost just like got looser as I went and I was able to like just progress and get faster in that 15, but it was tough. But that 5K is tough. And I feel like I'm still like learning the event and I need to still get it like a bit stronger to like really thrive in it. I think I'm just like a couple years from like really thriving in the 5K, but I love the 1500. And I realized how invested everyone else is in the 1500 after that performance. Like for some reason,
you're like, why is everyone inviting me to Diamond Leagues for the 1500?
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this is is the 15 the way to go? Like I'm getting all this attention from this 1500. No one cares about sub 15 in a 5K apparently.
Well, because I just feel like breaking four. I mean, I was a 1500 runner, so maybe that's me too. But like, I feel like breaking four is just so uncommon that it's like, I don't know. I feel like more people break 15 than break four. I don't know the statistics, but.
Yeah. And I think it's been, what's been really cool, I think, and like unique is that I've been able to do that like in the US. And I think that's really uncommon because most of the times you see that happen in like internationally or at the biggest stages. And I think, and you're just seeing that shift now of like how many people are breaking 15 and like where the US is going in these events, like it's so stacked across the board, but also just, I've been trying so hard to like take advantage of the opportunities I have because I wasn't getting into any Diamond Leagues in July. And I like this whole season, I've been like, at the beginning of the season, I was like working my way to even get into the fast heat. And just like, I've been like trying to capitalize on like what was in front of me each time. And I've been able to do that.
Fast heat.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, seriously. I started with like, I think I was in like the second heat of that first race in Texas. And I was like, I need to get in the fast heat of that. Like I need to be in the fast heat with those girls. And I fought my way in and I got in there, but there was a lot of races, like even just in my first year as a professional, like, yeah, you're at the bottom. Like you're at the bottom of the total pool, like as a incoming like professional. And I feel like I've like worked my way up, like I finally feel like I've like earned my spot now, and it feels really good.
Well, you are one of five American women to ever break 4 and 15 in those events. So I think you've definitely earned your spot.
I think I've been like, that was like such a cool stat to like see the list of who's on that list and who I'm on that list with. Like that was probably like the bigger accomplishment that I saw, like getting on that list with those runners of that caliber, like compared to like the times that I was able to put out. And I think just like this season, I've been trying to like catch up with what I've been doing, but I haven't even had the time to. That it's just been like, all right, like get on to the next one. And now it's like, all right, now that we're going to the Diamond Leagues and we're doing this. And I think it will be like at the end of the season, it's going to be really like cool to just like reflect and like look of how much I've been able to like grow in a year, and just like really appreciate that, because right now I think I'm just like in the motion of it and I don't even know if I'm like just like fully understanding like what's going on.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're racing like week after week, you like literally never have a chance to just sit down and focus on like what you did in the past. And you're just always looking to the next one. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
This is definitely going to be a year for you that you probably will never forget in your whole life. Like it just has to be just a very big year.
Big year. Yeah, definitely. And all for like amazing reasons. And and of course, yeah, the trials, like, were really hard. And that was also just like, that was my first Olympic trials and at that level. And I think the biggest thing is just like learning and like still just like staying positive. And I've been able to do a really good job at that coming off the trial. So I'm just like really happy with where I'm at considering the everything.
Yeah. What do you think was like, I don't know, what caused like the, I guess, not as great race at the trials?
Yeah, I was like, just like lingering on for such a long time after the race, because I was like, what? I remember finished that race and I was like, what happened? Like, yeah. I didn't know, because that was the first time where I felt like I couldn't like go. Like every time the moves were made in races, I was able to respond. And like, this was the first time where I knew when the move would probably happen, like a mile or 1200 to go, and I couldn't go with it. And that was like heartbreaking in the moment when I'm like, no, like, that's it. That's the race. Like, Josette, like, move your legs. Let's go. Like, this is it. And I couldn't. And that was just like so hard. Like that last 1200 meters, just like knowing that if I didn't go then, like, that was it. And I think that was just like so hard in that moment. And like leading up to it, I think I just like, I was mentally and physically like really tired, like before that move was made. Like in the race, I was mentally and physically tired. And I think even just like that hot like heat made it worse, because I was already like exerting so much energy to like stay up in the front and like be ready for that move, that like the best thing I can describe it is that like I didn't use my strengths to my advantage of like staying relaxed and calm at the beginning of the race. And that race felt like a full 5K from the gun. And normally it feels like you only race like 2K, because you're just like riding along that first 3K, not really worrying about positioning. And then like, I slowly progress. And like, this was the opposite of that. Like I raced from the start line all the way to the finish. And that was taxing on the body physically and mentally.
Yeah. And probably with that like 1200 to go, when you felt like you didn't have it in you, like that last 1200 probably just had to be so hard, like mentally and physically, just like, you know, that the race is not going to go as you want to, and you still have, it's like a decent amount of time to go. Like, that's not a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was in no man's land. I was running alone in fifth place, for 3 laps. And then in the last 100 meters, the last like 10 meters, 3 people passed me and no response from me. Like, I was exhausted. And I think it was just like in my head, I was like, I think it was just so hard, like watching from like just in front of me in that last 1200, that like the end of the race, I was like, I just need to get to that line, and whatever it is at that point. Like, so that was tough. And of course, my worst race of the season happened to be at the Olympic trials, which is the race that you've been preparing for all year. So that was like a hard pill to swallow, because I was so physically prepared and like the buildup couldn't have gone better. And like my confidence and just like mentally, I was in a really good spot. So I think that was a big lesson to learn. And I almost like needed that experience to learn it. Like no one can tell me their experience and just like hope that like it can go okay without, like, I needed that experience, I think. And like, only I can have that experience and no one else can like have it for me. And like that, I think I've like done a good job of just accepting and like making sure that like when I'm at that stage again, like I know everything that I can do to like be better and not have that disappointment that I felt.
Yeah. I mean, I think you are like the definition of someone that bounces back though. I mean, like, and also just proves that, I mean, the Olympic trials and the Olympics are like obviously a very, like the biggest race, whatever, but there's so many other races that you can do. Like going to Diamond Leagues is like huge. Mm-hmm. Still very similar caliber to the, like the Olympic races. It's it's just the title of the Olympics. I know is like really big. And obviously everyone has that goal, but it's also like, it's not the end of the world. Like you see people like you or Kate Grace, like obviously capitalizing on like the fitness. You're not just going to give up when the Olympics aren't like in the cards, you know?
I was laughing when people were like, oh, so is the season done? Like, and a lot of people are like asking me that who are still in college. Cause I'm like, oh, they're like gearing up for their cross country season. And I'm like,
They're like ready. They're like, all right. Yeah. All the college people are like, we're done.
No. Like the professional scene, like your whole summer is racing. Like, this is like what I've trained all year for, like to race till September. Like, so, seeing Kate Grace like bounce back was like such an inspiration for me. And, it's funny, like she got on a plane right away and started racing. And, I trained for a couple more weeks and like built like a whole new base and then raced again. So it's really cool that like to see us like approach it in different ways and like see success. And I think I was definitely like, she got me fired up. And I almost was like so fired up to race again coming off the trials because I was like, wait a minute, like I'm fit too. Like I want to show off this fitness and like show people what I can do. So I think that almost like got me more excited to race than just like if I had raced right after. Like I think I needed a little bit more time to process that. I also didn't get into any races in July, so that was part of it. but thank God for Sound Running though. They really set me up well. They came through.
I mean, it's been really exciting to watch. And it's like it's so fun for me personally, like as an outside spectator, to like see all of my friends, like people that I like, you or Nikki or even like Sabrina, like just seeing people that I ran with or like I crossed paths with a bunch of times, like either in high school or college, like being able to accomplish these amazing things. It's just so fun and so personal to me because it's like these are all my friends. So it's just so exciting to see people that I know personally doing so well. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so fun to watch. So I love the entertainment factor of it. I'm like, yeah.
We're all running
amazing times. I love it.
Oh yeah, the Olympics have been so much fun to watch right now. I'm like so invested in it as just like a fan. I'm like, yeah, I need to get up tomorrow morning for these next races. Like it's a big day.
Yeah, I'm just glad that I'm on the East Coast though, because like the West Coast people, they're all my friends are like just getting up at 3 a.m. like,
yeah, that is rough. I'm like, okay, wait, I need to get at least 8 hours right now.
Sorry, I don't know if this semi-final of this race is worth it, you know?
Today's episode is brought to you by Organifi. You guys know I have been drinking my green juice and my red juice every morning, and it has really kicked my day off on a good note. I am obsessed with Organifi. Organifi is a line of organic superfood blends that offer plant-based nutrition with high-quality ingredients and less than 3 grams of sugar. I've also been obsessed with their complete protein. I've been using it every single day in my post-workout smoothies. Also in my oatmeal, it's absolute fire. Like baked oats with the Organifi Complete Protein vanilla flavor is absolutely amazing. The green juice is a perfect way to start your day. It has essential superfoods that help reduce stress and reset your morning. And it contains a clinical dose of ashwagandha, which supports healthy cortisol levels, which you guys know is something that I've struggled with in the past. But since I've been using my green juice, my cortisol has actually gone down. It also is really convenient. I just take a scoop with water and I also combine it with the red juice. The red juice helps recharge your mind and body with a delicious superfood berry blend of premium organic superfoods that contain potent adaptogens, antioxidants, and a clinical dose of cordyceps. And it helps promote energy with zero caffeine and only 2 grams of sugar, which is what we love. And Organifi chooses the highest quality plant-based ingredients for optimal health. And each blend is science-backed to craft the most effective doses with ingredients that are organic and free of fillers. And all of it is just really convenient. So since we're athletes, we're always on the go. Having something like Organifi, so you're just able to get in those extra nutrients, is so important. If you guys are interested in checking out Organifi, I highly recommend you can go to www.organifi.com/coldbrew for 20% off all products.
That is www.organifi.com/coldbrew for 20% off all products. Now let's get back into the episode.
What's been your favorite event to watch so far?
I mean, that 800 this morning was unbelievable. I'm like, leading into this, the Olympics, I think I was the most excited to watch the 800, like men's and women's 800, and the 400 hurdles, men's and women. And like the men's 400 hurdles and the women's 800 have lived up to the hype. And I'm so excited to now watch the other two coming up. I think those are just such cool events to watch. And the 800, like, really almost scary to watch because the rounds are, it's the hardest part, like get to that final, like getting it through the rounds and like not falling. Like, it's just like, there's so much on the line. And of course our Team USA in the hurdles is unbelievable. Yeah, I'm actually like really excited about those two events. And then I would say, like, I mean, it's so hard to pick. Like, I love the 15 too and the steeple, and then like the 5K as well, because I'm like, yeah, that's the event I want to do. But
yeah.
But yeah, the mid distance and like the hurdles have been such a highlight for me. And even just watching that long jump the other day. Yeah, I've been loving it. It's been really cool to see. And I've been like, it's funny, a lot of this season, like leading up to these races, I've watched a lot of races to almost like learn from them in a way. Like, cause I'm like, oh, I haven't been at that level yet. And I want to be there. Like, I'm going to watch these races and like, just like follow the runners, like that I want to follow and do what they're doing in races. So I feel like I've been like really invested in just like learning from rewatching these races. I'm studying the tapes. All right, guys, like get on YouTube and start searching up these races and
start putting in the work. Start doing your homework.
Yeah. Get out your notepad.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already got one note, find runner boyfriend. And then I'll start adding to that. So
yeah. Watch YouTube.
pro runners. Two people probably are actually like writing this down in their notebook right now.
Oh no.
Yeah, that's been
in a weird way, that's been like big for me because I'm like learning from it because I haven't been able to do it at that stage yet. And that's like, I want to do that. So it's been kind of cool to like learn and study from these races and then also just become more of a track nerd from it.
Yeah. What have you learned? Anything?
Yeah, I think I've learned a lot of patience in races. Like even just like I've really worked on that, like staying extremely patient and positioning and like making sure a lot of my races, I've been able to like cover a move when maybe like people are falling off and I'm like, I don't get out too fast in races a lot of times. Like you'll find me in like the mid pack or towards the back, but I like make my way up to the front, but it like requires a good bit of concentration in the way that I'm like making sure that I'm falling back so far where then I'm going to miss the big move that's happening. And I think a lot of that is like, I've learned to be more just like aware of like when I need to move and like staying patient and just positioning better. And I think I've done a good job of like replicating that in my races. And have been like, just feel like I just like I learn more from each race I'm doing this season. And that's been pretty cool. It's been a lot of learning this season, learning and growth.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. That bodes well for the future then. If you're already going to improve on things that you're learning right now. We can only hope to see what will happen in the future. What do you have any goals? Like, what are your main goals for your entire running career?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big question.
I mean, well, I don't like. I feel like I just like. I mean, I want to make that Olympic team so badly. Like Paris, in 2024. Like that's a huge goal of mine. But like, there's so much to look forward to in these next few years. And like, I think like now the biggest focus is like, hey, making my first team, like, of course the world champs next year, like that's my major goal. And it was really cool to get my qualifiers out of the way this year. So now like, that's not the focus. Like the focus is now just racing and, I have a little bit more freedom next year, but to represent USA is like my major goal right now. And like a new goal that I want to do is I really want to try to break 2 in the 800.
Okay.
I want to add my list I want to add myself to a more exclusive list.
Yeah, of people what? And Wait, try how many people have done that? How many people have done the triple?
Sorry, Robbie's giving me coffee right now.
Oh, good. Wait, bring me one hey, too. Look. Wow.
Yeah, Robbie, where's Emma's cold brew? I'm on a cold brew podcast right now.
Actually, I should be giving it to you. I keep telling everyone this. I need to start door dashing people coffee. I need to do that next time.
Oh, that would be cool. That's yeah. a nice little.
I should do that. I'm going to do that starting season 3 in a couple weeks. I'm going to start doing that.
But
so sorry,
I'm not actually sure. I'm not actually sure who's on that list. I know Ellie is. And then, yeah, I'm actually not too sure who's on that list.
Well, who are the other four that have done the double?
Jenny, Shannon, Shelby, Ellie.
Oh,
me.
Shelby's broken.
She's broken too, right?
She's broken too.
She has to.
Okay. She has to have broken too. I'm saying
she has to. So yeah. So
yeah,
that's
it. I don't know people's time.
Has Jenny and Shannon? I don't know, but I got to do a little more stalking research for that. Someone.
Yeah, come on, do your homework. Write that down.
Someone let me know. But that would be a really cool thing to do. I definitely would need to work a little bit more on my speed work in that. I think I need a few attempts at it, but that would be something to try to look forward to and run an 800. I'll run the 800 before doing a 10K. That's all I'll tell you.
There you go. No 10K for you.
Yeah, I'm like, no 10K, Coach Fox. Like, you're like, let's keep going down.
Oh, wait, that's kind of like a bad choice you have to make. It's like, okay, you either go up to the 10K where you have to run 6 miles around the track, or you have to all out sprint and do the worst event in track, the 800 meters, the hardest, I should say, not the worst, the hardest. Both are the hardest events. But then everyone's gonna argue, stay, like, oh, the steeplechase is the hardest.
5K, yeah. I'll stick with my 15 and 5 and try to hang with that for as long as I can.
Yeah. I don't think the 1500 is the hardest event in track and field. Like, I would not say that it's the most physically challenging. I think it might be tactically, it's really hard, but I feel like the 800 is harder, and probably the 5K and the 10K, like physically.
The 8 and 5, I would say, extremely. Mm-hmm. 8, 5, 400 hurdles.
Yeah.
Those
okay.
Those are my picks.
Okay. Bold prediction. We're going to have people fighting over this.
Oh, no.
Well, actually, yeah. No one can comment on anything, so no one's going to be able to. They'll fight in their
I'm sorry,
head.
Guys.
Sorry to let anyone down. Or
I need to run all the distances, actually, before making these assumptions.
Yeah, maybe just try all of them. Like, try all the events in track and field and see which other ones that you can add to the list of being insane at. Okay, well, I have, just a few questions. Honestly, we kind of answered a lot of them, but from the listeners that we can go through to close out the episode. So, the first one, is Reebok making a super shoe?
So they're working on a marathon shoe currently. If you mean super shoe for spike or road racing, but yeah, so they, our marathoners have been testing out the prototype for the marathon shoe. And right now we have permission to run in we have the freedom to pick a spike that we want while they're still not out with a spike that's considered like a super spike, I guess, as you can say. So right now they've given us permission on the track to wear that as like they're trying to catch up with the technology, as you've been seeing like a lot of companies are trying to do. And that's been such a new thing in the track world this whole year, and a whole nother like thing to add to the table, which has been really crazy. And a lot of companies are like in the stages of catching up, and it's been really cool to see the other companies come out with it, and Reebok's working on that as well. And I'm excited to see what they're like going to put together for us.
Yeah. Okay. What do you like to do in your free time?
Oh, I love to eat. I love eating. A lot of my day revolves around eating food and, oh, wow, eating food, watching TV. I'm a big like binger of shows. Like, I spend a lot of my time like watching Netflix, watching YouTube, like between my runs and stuff. Like, but downtime, like, yeah, like I'm food, like watching TV. Robbie just brought his kittens down, actually. They were in New Jersey and now they're in Charlottesville, so that's going to be really fun to hang out with the kitties. But just like hang out. I'm like pretty low key and I'm pretty okay with like not doing too many things in my day, and I think that's actually like helped me in like my recovery as a runner, but listen to music. But it's been really fun actually having just Robbie with me to do that with, because I think it was like a little lonely in my first year pro, like having so much free time and like no one to share it with, because like, yeah, I'm like laying on the couch and like watching TV, but it's just so much more fun. Like just even just like cooking with someone, like eating with someone, just like all those little things. Like that's been really nice to have someone who's like literally on the same schedule as me. And we get to do that and spend all day together. So maybe I can like appreciate that a little more because I can do it with someone. But yeah, those are just like, I just like to hang out really.
All right, I'm underlining the boyfriend note on my
oh no!
I'm like, oh my goodness, I like need this. I need someone in my life to like bring me cold brew. Come on. Who's gonna bring me cold brew? Anyone listening?
Like, I'll bring you cold brew. When I come to New Jersey, I'm gonna show up at your door to the city and I'm gonna bring you cold brew. Okay.
No, I owe you a cold brew for being on the podcast.
Oh wait, yeah.
Well, yeah, wait, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, wait.
Okay. How often do you lift? We got a lot of questions about lifting. People are interested. Are you swole?
Oh yeah, look at this muscle. Only
I'm like, oh, okay, kinda. Yeah.
You know, I can do 10 push-ups like in 30 seconds. So
whoa, okay, I can't do one.
Whoa, watch out, folks. I was like really consistent about my lifting, like all through college, like twice a week on workout days. Like I like to make my workout days really hard and my recovery days really easy. So like I work out on Tuesdays and Fridays. And so I'd like lift on Tuesdays and Fridays as well. And I was doing that all like last year, my first year as a professional. And then like halfway through this year, until like the gyms really shut down and like the pandemic hit, and like they just like I got some gym gear, but it's been kind of like a little bit more, I would say, PT lifting, if that makes sense. Like it's more been like keeping my body healthy than just like heavy lifting. So a lot of it is like band work or like isolation, like isometrics and just like isolation of the muscles and stuff. But it's been more of like PT and like recovery focused this past 6 months versus lifting. But I do like to lift and I want to get back into a more legit lifting routine, but I also want it to be very like focused and have like the attention, like have the space to do it and not just be like a free for all. So right now it's just been focused on lifting, especially now with like all the racing coming up too and the traveling, just been focused on like keeping myself healthy, getting the glutes and hips strong. But I do think lifting is really important to staying healthy and like getting stronger and faster. Yeah.
Good answer.
Lifting folks.
Good answer. I feel like that's pretty like normal. Like just doing it, especially during the season when you're racing so much, it's like a lot of people are like in the weight room, like all the time because it just,
yeah,
it's another element of training. It just taxes your body. So you got to be ready to race.
Yeah. The priority's been like more focused on racing, of course, the last few months and just, yeah, just making sure I get to the line healthy and working on like the little things and getting the calves strong for the spikes and like glutes and everything. But a lot of this season also has just been working on like my strides, like and getting stronger in my strides and mechanics and just like doing hurdle drills and like speed drills and like the supplement work to that has really helped like my efficiency and my stride. Which I think also lifting does a really good job of, but I feel like I've been more focused on doing like strides and drills and hurdles and band work. And that's where the focus has been this season. And I've seen a lot of success with it. So if you're lifting and you want to start working more on your strides and your hurdle drills, and that, I think that's huge. And it really helps with your like efficiency and just, turnover. And I've seen a huge shift in that in my racing this season.
There we go. Good advice. Okay. Well, I don't want to keep you for too much longer, but the last question I have is, do you have any advice to your younger self?
Advice to my younger self. I would say that I would like be so just like so invested in yourself and your potential and like never forget that. Like never, I wish I was like almost just like sometimes when I had those doubts, like I wish I believed in myself a little bit more in that moment because it was there, but like my advice to my younger self was like, keep believing in yourself and keep advocating for yourself and communicating. Like, I think communication is so big, and like being able to talk it out with your coaches, or like write things down. Like, that's a big advice that I'd give myself. And maybe that would have, like, I would have seen comebacks a little faster than I would have liked. And it took me a long time to get that. And just like that belief in yourself and like believing in your potential, like, that was huge for me. And I think I did a good job at that, and I wouldn't trade that for the world. And that's something that I think is really important into like just staying in this sport long-term and seeing success, even when things are hard.
Yeah. Well, I'm so excited to watch your progression over the next couple of years, just as like your friend. And I'm sure, like, I mean, especially after this year, you just have a lot of people on board. So it'll be so exciting to watch how the rest of the year goes. I mean, in the Diamond Leagues, that'll be fun to watch
too. Yeah, that's going to be a new challenge. And yeah, it's been such a fun time, and I'm really excited for the next few years. And like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, the biggest thing is staying healthy and consistent. And that's what's going to set me apart the next few years. And I'm just really excited and like really hopeful for the future.
Yeah. Well, where can people follow along your journey?
Oh, you can follow along my journey on Instagram, guys, at Josette Norris. I'm like trying to grow my followers through my racing right now. But like Twitter and Instagram is where you can find me. I'm hoping, I want to make like a little like LinkedIn tree with all like links to my like schedule and podcasts like this. And I'm working on that to put that on there so people can have a easier time following along and knowing what is next for me. But yeah, you can follow me on that, guys.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining me. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. It was so fun catching up with Josette. She's honestly one of the people that I feel like just loves the sport of running, and it really shows through her performances this summer. So I hope you guys go give her a follow and just stay tuned for the rest of her season and beyond. Don't forget to rate and review on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already, and follow us on Instagram at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to submit listener questions or just be up to date on the latest episodes. Thank you guys so much again for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.